Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. My subject tonight, forgive us as we forgive others. Father, forgive us as we forgive others. Let's pray the prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, is Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus, knowing that unforgiveness would hinder our prayers, he taught us to pray in the model prayer, and to ask the Father for forgiveness. Look at Matthew 6 and 12. He said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the same measure that you forgive others, that is how the Father will forgive you. And unforgiveness is a spirit. And unforgiveness, it is a spirit that will hinder your prayers simply because if you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the human will. It is something you decide to do. You must learn to forgive in all circumstances of life. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Don't let your happiness be in someone else's head. Let your happiness be in Jesus. Jesus knew the power of forgiveness, and after he had finished his instructions in the model prayer, he repeats this element of forgiveness a second time. Look at Matthew 6 and 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then Jesus repeats this same element of forgiveness a third time. Matthew 6, 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus does not repeat praise a second and a third time. He does not repeat the petitions that he taught us to pray a second and a third time, but he repeats forgiveness an additional two times, telling us three times the power of forgiveness and how we should forgive from our heart. I forgive, it is more than just a statement. It is an act of the human will, and it is an act of love that comes from the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. It comes from your recreated being. Amen. And forgiveness flows out of your human spirit. It flows out of that because the love of God was shed abroad in your heart when you were born again. And when you realize the power of God's love and you realize how much God loves you, then you see the whole world in a different light. And all of a sudden, you're willing to forgive others. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 10 on the last part of that. He said, for if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgave I it in the person of Christ. And look at verse 11. Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. In other words, if you don't forgive others, Satan will gain an advantage over you, and your prayers will be hindered. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you tithe. I don't care how much you sing. I don't care how much you shout. But if you don't forgive, how much you read your Bible, if you don't forgive others, God cannot forgive you. So Paul is saying, I forgave those persons through the person of Christ in me. I did that so Satan, the devil, would not gain an advantage over us. Not just me, Paul says, but over us. Hallelujah. So forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a command from the Lord. And Jesus put that three times in the model prayer. Many people say, well, Pastor, I forgive, but I'll never forget. I can assure you of one thing. That is not the Spirit of Christ. I said, that is not the Spirit of Christ. God says to forgive because unforgiveness will hinder your prayers, and a spirit of unforgiveness, it will rob you of God's blessings. Calvary gives us a glimpse of our Father's great love and of his unlimited forgiveness. God has forgiven us of all of our sins. He has cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If you were to go north, you go north as far as you can, and then all of a sudden you hit the North Pole and you start going south. If you go east, you'll be going east forever. If you go west, you'll be going west forever. Matter of fact, they put the prime meridian in Greenwich, England, so that they would have a point to measure when you had gone around the earth's circle one time. And so that's why God spoke through the psalmist in his infinite wisdom and said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. That's the level of forgiveness that you and I experience from our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we must forgive others as God has forgiven us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. There's a lot hanging on that one word. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. That means that I cannot withhold forgiveness. And I just decided a long time ago, before anybody wrongs me, I have already chosen to forgive them. I choose that through my own human will. And when I just go back to Calvary and I realize what God has forgiven me of and what God has done in my heart, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, how could I ever withhold forgiveness from that person? I extend forgiveness to them through the person of Christ that is in me. Hallelujah. If you can ever get a glimpse of Calvary, it'll change you forever. Amen. The forgiveness that we receive from our Heavenly Father is the same forgiveness we must extend or release to others. And God can only forgive us to the extent that we forgive others. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus, he tells a parable about the servant who owed the king 10,000 talents, amount of money of approximately $10 million today. Now, this servant could never have repaid that debt to the king. So he goes to the king and he begs the king to forgive him of that debt. And the king forgave him. Later on, one of his fellow servants, he refuses to forgive another man that owed him approximately $2,000. And he had the man thrown in prison. Now, he had had tremendous forgiveness from the king. If you got a problem, you heard me preach it Sunday, take it to the king. If you want to get back what you lost, go back to what you left and then go back to the king. Hallelujah. The king's got some wonderful things for you. But when the king discovered this servant's lack of compassion for his fellow servant, the king was angry, he was wroth, and he was upset. Look at Matthew 18:34. Jesus said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all the debt that was due unto him. Look at what Jesus said in verse 35. So likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that trespasses. If you keep a record of the wrongs and of the grudges, you will live a life of tormenting spirits, a life of tormenting memories, and demon oppression will bother you and be released upon you for the rest of your life until you learn the power of forgiveness. We're to forgive at the same level that we have been forgiven of by God. Hallelujah. This is vitally important to our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. This is one of the greatest keys that a man could ever preach on the power of prayer and the power of victorious living, is to teach people to have a heart of forgiveness, and no matter what others do to you, just to choose from your own willpower to forgive them. It's a decision. It may take you some time to work through it, but I promise you, if you'll read this book, if you'll get lost in the pages of this book, hallelujah, if you'll learn to look to God and to look to the cross for everything in your life, it will change your life and it will free you and change your attitude toward others. Think about the the power of forgiveness. Jesus forgave us of all of our sins, and then he gave us the gift of eternal life. Some people, they face the issues of life, and they get so aggravated and agitated, and they just go off on everybody else. You can't be happy like that. The only way you can be happy is to walk with the King and try your best to get along with everybody. But there are some people, they just take, it seems like they take pleasure in just aggravating you and dropping all of their problems on you. Everybody's got problems, hallelujah. We're to help one another, we're to pray for one another. But nobody, you know, is a punching bag for anybody else. So learn to walk in love and learn the power of forgiveness. Think about the power of forgiveness. It's essential to your walk with God that you walk in a forgiving spirit. I think often, and I was talking to someone today, and I was telling them, I said, you know, there were only two men that went into the promised land that came out of Egypt. That was Joshua and Caleb. They believed God. I said, the rest of them, they murmured, they griped, they complained, and they all died in the wilderness. They never obtained the promises of God. If you want the promises of God, you've got to have a rejoicing spirit. You've got to have a spirit of praise. You've got to have a spirit of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. It's like my teacher told me way back, and she said, Jerry, you've got a bad attitude. She said, attitude is the keynote. It didn't register right then, but as I went down the road of life, I began to realize just how important my attitude toward life really was. And you can choose to be happy. You can choose to rejoice. You can choose to praise God. And God wired our brains to where you cannot think one thing and say something else. So if the devil is tormenting you, and you get, first of all, forgive somebody, because God's already turned you over to the tormentors. That's what the parable is all about. So forgive them and then start praising God. Get up every morning, read Psalms 1. Hallelujah. That'll do you some good. He that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Go over to 23rd Psalm. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Go to the 91st Psalm. Said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then go over to Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty act. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Start praising God and talking what the word says. And guess what? You'll forget all about your problems. You cannot think one thing and say another thing. Now, I can prove that the Holy Ghost is a divine heavenly language, because I can pray in tongues and pray around the world. Amen. I can pray for missionaries in tongues. I can be down in the hospital praying for somebody while I'm praying in tongues. I can think around the world, because it's not my brain praying, it's my spirit praying. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. God wants us to learn how to pray. And one of the key elements to prayer is to forgive as God has forgiven you. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you fail this test, you will lose the battles of life. If you pass this test, then you will get all of heaven's resources behind you. Hallelujah. I want God to send his angels before me, but I want God covering my back. Hallelujah. You know, there's no armor for the back, but he'll guard you. He'll put angels all around. He'll take care of you. He suits us up to go into battle with the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, take the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And most preachers stop right there. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance. And prayer for all saints. He says, supplications. That's strong petition. But you can win the battles of life and have all of heaven's resources behind you if you will learn how to forgive. Amen. The greatest power in the universe is the power of forgiveness. This is when I really got excited. When Jesus was hanging upon the cross, he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus has never asked us to do anything that he hasn't already done. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying. The greatest power in the universe is the power of forgiveness. There could have been no saving power without forgiveness. There could have been no healing power if on the cross Jesus had not forgiven. There could have been no Pentecostal power without the power of forgiveness. When Jesus, the Son of God, hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them," that one word, forgive, it changed everything. In that one word, when he said, "Forgive," suddenly a streak of God's glory, it struck the earth and three worlds were affected. When Jesus said, "Forgive," the doors of an old dispensation of the law, they were slammed shut. And suddenly the door of grace was opened wide. Hallelujah to the Lamb. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're to do good works because you are saved. You're to love others. You're to forgive others. You're to be kind and tenderhearted toward one another because of Calvary's blood. Hallelujah. It all happened when Jesus said one word, forgive. When they hung Jesus upon the cross, no one that was standing at the foot of the cross crying, crucify him, was asking him for forgiveness. Nobody did, but he forgave them before they ever asked, because that's Calvary's way. Do you want to know the way of the cross? Calvary's way is to forgive before others forgive. I learned that a long time ago. And so I said, I choose of my own human willpower. I choose to forgive before others wrong me. Hallelujah. That's Calvary's way. When Jesus forgave them, he canceled the debt and disarmed the devil. When you forgive, you cancel the debt and you disarm the devil. Devils abound in the presence of forgiveness. Bondage are broken in the presence of forgiveness. Sin loses its power in the presence of forgiveness. Forgiveness affects hell. Forgiveness affects heaven. Forgiveness affects earth. And when people forgive one another, the power of God is released in unlimited power. Hallelujah. As Jesus hung on the cross, he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus was made sin with our sin, and the only way he could ever escape that bondage of sin was to forgive those that were killing him. If you could think about him being draped or being clothed in the sin of the whole world, and they crucified him, but on the cross he had cried, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Had he not spoken those words, you and I could never have been saved. He could not have been released from the throes of death, because you must forgive if you want to be forgiven. He never sinned, but he who knew no sin was made sin with our sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And without that there could be no mercy, there could be no grace, and no salvation for you and me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Powerful, isn't it? What are the feelings of unforgiveness? Well, you might ask yourself, what is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is not being willing to give up resentment when someone has wronged you. Unforgiveness carries with it a desire to punish someone else. You may be angry with someone who has hurt you. You may not be willing to pardon them. But the Bible is very clear on this subject. We must forgive those who have wronged us if we want God's forgiveness. A lot of people, they carry grudges. When I used to preach as an evangelist, back then they had prayer lines, and people would come into those prayer lines, and the Holy Ghost would speak to me and says, I can't heal them. They won't forgive. And I would try to deal with that as much as I could, you know, in an atmosphere like that. But you would be surprised at the people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that they have that. And if you don't believe it, look at all the church splits that have gone on. I mean, dear God, let's get real about this thing. There's no need to wear a facade and a mask in front of everybody. You've got to get this thing out of your insides. It'll eat you up. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your peace. It'll destroy your joy. And it will take from you the gift of righteousness that's been imparted to you. Because you cannot live in sin like that and have the very righteousness of God upon your life. Amen. What will unforgiveness do to you? Unforgiveness will destroy you. It will torment your mind. It will cause you to hate others instead of love them. It will cause your insides to be full of turmoil, and it will rob you of your peace. It will rob you of your joy and your happiness. Unforgiveness is destructive, and that's why God wants us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. I thought about that old proverb. You've heard it said, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. That quote is not in the Bible. That's not Bible there. But it's true because the principle is true. Because sometimes we don't have the human strength to forgive others. The Apostle Paul, he faced this very issue. Earlier in a letter he had written to the church at Corinth, he had addressed the sinful issue of fornication by the members in the church. And Paul had to address that issue because of the destructiveness of that sin and how it would affect the entire church. Oh, don't talk about that. Everybody's doing that. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't matter what 21st century America's doing. God's rules and God's laws and God's precepts and God's commandments and God's concepts, they're still the same. The Bible says he has exalted his word above all his name. That puzzled me for a long time. And then one day I realized people do a lot of things in the name of Jesus. Look at Yale and Harvard and Princeton. All those schools were started in Jesus' name. Look at them today. My God, they didn't want his name mentioned up there. Look at America. Look at our foundation and look at how far we have strayed. But I can tell you one thing. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This word will sustain you. This word will carry you through the tough places, through the rough places, through the hard places. This word is forever settled in heaven. And then the Bible says, and God watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. You just start speaking the word. You start living the word. And I promise you one thing on the authority of God's word. God will show up if you learn the power of forgiveness. And if you learn the power of praise. And if you learn some laws. Matter of fact, I got to looking at this. I looked at some of the laws. I have laws. I like laws. I like principles. I preached on a principle Sunday. If you want to get back what you lost, go back to what you left. It doesn't matter what you lost. If you go back to where you left it, you can get it back. If you don't go back, you'll never get it back. We've lost some things. Morality. Amen. We've lost gifts of the Spirit. We've lost the power and the presence of God like we should have it in our churches. But I just decided one thing. I'm going to live for him to the best of my ability. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to do the best I can to live a good, godly, holy, pure Christian life. And what others do, that's their choice. But as for me and my house, praise God, I just decided a long time ago, we're going to serve the Lord. Go on and praise him. Have you made your mind up? I'm going to praise him. I'm still looking for revival, and I say, oh, Lord, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I don't want to go back to pot-bellied stoves and go back to hairpins and the women's hair and those long dresses and floors that go up and down like that, but I tell you what, I'd like to see the power of God just like that one more time before I leave this planet. Oh, Lord, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Not a song, not a show. No, the real power of God, where God invades the place and all of a sudden drunks are set free and drug addicts are set free and adulterers are set free and people are set free from pornography and from the sin of this old sin cursed world, and their eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we lost some things, but we can get back to them. Amen. Now, Paul realized how destructive that sin of fornication could be, but he also realized how destructive the sin of unforgiveness could be. Look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 10 again. To whom ye forgave anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgave I it. And look at this, in the person of Christ. To forgive is divine. Amen. Sometimes you don't have the strength, but you got Christ in you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I just love that. I went down to watch my daughter running that marathon down at Atlantic Beach, and she was coming over the bridge, and I was trying to get there before she got to that. I want to get a shot of the bridge and the water in the background, and I looked up, and I didn't get quite where I wanted to, but I got the shot of the water and all. And I took her picture, and I'm running along beside of her, and she said, Daddy, you don't know what happened. When I looked up, said my legs were all cramped, and I felt like giving out. When I looked up and saw you, all of a sudden, strength, and it just kicked into my body, she said, and the adrenaline started flowing. I said, well, you look like you're doing pretty good. She's running along now. She said, Daddy, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Bring a child up in the way of the Lord. When they're old, they shall not depart from it. They might go out there like I did, but I promise you one thing, the power of the Holy Ghost and the high sheriff of heaven, he'll go get them if he has to drag them in. I could have come in a long time ago. He brought me in, praise God. He came through my walls and he said, I'm coming after you. And he did. If you bring them upright, praise God, the Lord, he will take care of you. Don't even worry about it. I mean, don't lose not one hour of sleep about it. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. Why should you be up if God's going to be up? Sometimes people, Teresa, tell me, you need to do this and do this and this. I said, I've already done what I'm going to do. Well, you need to do this and this and this. I said, I'm not doing anything. I said, I've already told my Father what I need, and I said, I'm just going to rest. The Bible says there remaineth the rest to the children of God. And if we get to looking at everything we've got to do, sometimes we just got to plow through it. But I promise you one thing, this old boy's going to be praying the whole time he's plowing through it. If you'll learn to forgive, God will forgive you. Hallelujah. I forgave it in the person of Christ. Now look at 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Lest Satan should gain an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. When a person fails, we must judge righteous judgment. If it's sin, it's a sin, and we have to call it what it is. We've got to judge righteous judgment. That's what Paul did. He said, there's fornication among you. He judged the sin. But he also realized that this person that committed that fornication, that they had to be forgiven. And if we don't forgive others, then Satan will gain an advantage over us. Whether we can reconcile that person or not, we've got to forgive them. You know, that's what reconciliation is all about. It's about mending the fences. It's about coming back together, if you can. And once you've done all you can do, you've done it. But see, if you've done what you can do, then God will do what only God can do. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to walk with the King? See, we don't need to be ignorant concerning the devil's devices. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 4:32. I love this. He said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When I read scriptures like that, and I think about what God has done for me, what he has forgiven me of, and how much he loves me, it makes me want to love others like that. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I like to think about it like this, like taking, you know how peanut butter is, just stick your hand in the jar and just smear it all over you. Hallelujah. That's how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, that's the principle right there that will take you through life flying high. Oh, you'll have your problems, you'll have your difficulties, but you'll have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You'll have a right relationship with God, and you can just fly through the air. Hallelujah. See, if you can just be kind, and if you can just forgive others, and if you can just be tenderhearted, you can live in victory. Look at what Paul said in Colossians 3 and 12. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So God can only forgive us in the same manner that we forgive others. But if you're going to carry around hatred and bitterness and malice in your heart, it will destroy you. David, put Hosea 5:15 up there, please. Unforgiveness has a downward progression. And I'll show you something. But what it ultimately leads to is, first of all, you've got malice and bitterness and anger in your heart. And then hatred, if you're not careful, it will enter your heart. And you just cut yourself off from God. God said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And look where they're headed. He said, Jesus said in that parable, he'll turn you over to the tormentors. In their affliction, they will seek me early. That's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible right there. That God, when we offended at others and we won't forgive, God says, I'll go to my place. I'll just go to my place. Till they acknowledge it. Now, he's the I am. He's not bound by time. He's locked in eternity. I'll just go to my place, and you and I, we got a space of time on this planet. And I promise you, if you want to live it out and live it out with joy, if you want to live it out in peace, if you want to live it out in brotherly love and brotherly kindness, you can fly high. Hallelujah. You'll have your problems. There's a real devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But don't let him take advantage of you. Take advantage of him. Get up every morning with a song in your heart, with joy on your lips and a praise of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Start out your day singing unto God. I wake up in the night with a song. Sometimes I get a new song. Hallelujah. Sometimes it'll be one of those old songs. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. They're just down them in those old songs. But they just come floating up, and they preach me a sermon. Hallelujah. And I get excited about the Lord. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Well, you don't understand, Pastor, I was treated wrong. Well, Jesus was treated wrong, but he forgave. So he's talking to us out of reality and not out of a dream. Look at this in Luke 6:37. Jesus said, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Wow. Let's call it what it is. What is unforgiveness? Well, put it very simply, unforgiveness is sin. How can we who have been forgiven of so much, how could we ever withhold forgiveness from someone else? Now, in 1 John 1:9, we find the very basis for forgiveness. The very basis for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just because this thing has entered your heart, you don't have to let it take up a residence. All you have to do is confess and admit. Amen. Some people say, oh, I don't have a problem with it. Yes, you do. Dear God, if you haven't forgiven them, you do. You want me to tell you when you know you have forgiven someone, it's when their name comes up in a conversation and you don't have to rehearse what they did to you a long time ago. That's when you know you have forgiven them. And if you think you have, you haven't. If their name comes up in a conversation and someone says something and you jump in there with both feet, guess what? You have not forgiven them. It's still down inside of you somewhere. And you need to go to the cross and you need to get it out. Because it's a tool of the devil. And he will hinder our prayers. Paul said, I must forgive. At least Satan should gain an advantage of us. We're not ignorant concerning his devices. The word of free, I tell you. See, God already knows our sin. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows how we feel toward others. He just wants us to admit it. So if we confess our sins and admit, yes, Lord, I have sinned, the Bible says he forgives us our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's a sin to withhold forgiveness, and unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. Because God can only forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. What else will unforgiveness do to you? Well, unforgiveness will create an emotional scar. And sometimes these things are so deep that they hurt like a cancer. And it just eats a person's insides up. So unforgiveness is an emotional situation on the inside of you. Now, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's an act. It's something you decide to do. But unforgiveness becomes an emotional scar on the inside of you. And it's a scar that opens up and it bleeds and it hurts. And it causes you tremendous pain. If my best friend hurts me, that's reality. He did that to me. If I become bitter, that's reaction. And I did that to me. Let me say that again. If my best friend hurts me, that's reality. He did that to me. But if I become bitter, that's reaction. And I did that to me. See, unforgiveness is internal. And no one can put that on the inside of you. You put that in your own heart by your reaction to life's circumstances. And it's just that simple. Unforgiveness is also a situation that can lead to a state of depression. Think about that. If you refuse to forgive a person, that reaction can cause you sadness. And if you get sad enough, and if you stay sad enough long enough, it won't be very long before you're going to be depressed. See, we cannot allow hatred to get into our heart. We cannot allow a root of bitterness to enter in and to defile our temple. We're the temple of the living God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll dwell in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hand. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. He said, hath not my hands made all these things? He doesn't come here because it's a sanctuary. Oh, we dedicate it, we consecrate it, but he comes here because we come here. If we show up, he shows up. If we show up in a brush arbor, hallelujah, he's going to show up. If we show up, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Hallelujah. So we cannot allow hatred to enter our heart. We've got to learn how to love, and we've got to learn how to live. When I came home from Vietnam in August of 1968, it would have been very easy to hate. The Vietnam veterans, they were despised and they were rejected. We had fought a war, we had served our country, and what we did was not popular. And so I had to learn how to overcome those feelings of rejection. I had to learn how to overcome the bitterness and the resentment that tried to enter into my own heart because of how people were treating me. I wasn't even saved. But I struggled with that thing. I just would not let that into me. And for 17 years, I struggled with that. I just wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to feel good about myself, and I wanted to feel good about other people once again. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, all of that left me instantly. And all the pain and all the sorrows and all the dreams, they left me instantly. I have never had another dream about that place since September 26, 1982. Hallelujah. Now, that's the power of the blood, and that's the power of forgiveness. And after that happened in my life, praise God, I was able to love again. Hallelujah. See, God is love. And when Jesus comes into your heart, he changes things. So if you're full of God, you're full of love. And you're full of hate, you're full of what? You got it, the devil. Amen. I want to close with this. You can never be great with unforgiveness in your heart. Greatness and unforgiveness, they do not walk down the same road. God wants us to be someone great, and he wants us to achieve great things in life. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it, and never be satisfied. And learn to forgive others as God has forgiven you. Let us say it together. Put it on the screen, Brother David, Matthew 6 and 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Learn to walk in a spirit of forgiveness. You'll be so glad you did. And I promise you this, other people around you, they will be glad you did. And you will find your life filled with the abundance of God. And you'll be able to walk in the kingdom. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And the kingdom's not out there and over there somewhere. The kingdom of God is within us. And Paul said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well.
Thank you, Lord.
Your spirit is within.
Thank you so much, Jesus.
Because you died and rose again. Sing that verse again. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Oh, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Woo! Glory!
Amazing love.
My King would die for me.
Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you.
My joy, Lord, to honor you.
In all I do, I honor you.
Amazing. joy to honor you.